What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, and you're listening to Stan, Ro, and Camus on the SGP Podcast. Shut up, Camus!
Are you ready? You're listening to the SGP Podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP Podcast, where we are greeting you a Happy New Year! All right, all three of us are complete in the balay. We're recording this on January 3, the eve of Wrestle Kingdom 13.
Wrestle Kingdom 13.
Yes. First things first, how was your New Year celebration, fellas?
Actually celebrated with extended family for once. It's just always good. As you know, not many fireworks going on.
Because of the rain.
Yeah, because of the rain. And, you know, just a general lack of feeling about fireworks nowadays. We just have sparklers, that's it.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Wala naman shining fireworks. Mm. Although you couldn't tell from how smoggy it was on the road.
That is because of the fireworks.
Because of the fireworks that were after the rain.
Yeah.
Parang hindi rainbow yung pagkatapos ng.
Yeah.
I know you were drinking a lot, Camus. How were your celebrations?
I'm still hungover.
Wonderful.
I went from 31. I had a sleepover with my out of town nieces on the first here in this space.
In this very space.
And then I worked a 14-hour shoot yesterday, so I'm still bumibuelo pa.
All right. And of course, Camus is dressed pretty well today because he's off with family after we record.
Yep.
I ended the year playing Survivor in Batangas. Now, it was a very mountainy and muddy terrain with no food, by the way, for over 15 hours. I went out in the Johnny Mundo spot, 8th boot.
Ouch.
But considering there were 23 players, that means I only placed 16.
That's not bad.
For an all-star season, yeah, it's not bad. It took two tribes to band together to get me out. So I take that as
they
a compliment.
They hate you that much?
No. I was that big of a threat. So I got a round of applause from all the remaining active players upon my exit. So I'll take that.
Wow.
Also, it's a what's it? Constrained.
It was a contracted game. 2 days, one night. So
hyperspeed.
As I was telling Ro when we got here, challenge tribal. So it was pretty intense. And when your brain is fried and you're running on no sleep and no food, then you're bound to make some sloppy decisions.
But could you, once you were eliminated, could you have eaten?
Yes. Okay. That's exactly what I did right after.
Buti naman. So yung mga tumuloy, bukas pa sa kamay. And the next day pa sa kamay.
Yeah, they had the merge feast for dinner, and then if they didn't win reward, wala silang food. And then they got rained on. There was a torrential rain.
Oh, yeah.
And I was glad to have been out of the game by then, because by now, all these guys were sick, or are sick.
Oh, wow. Well.
And I'm not. So really, I won eventually.
That's what you get for living your survivor dreams in Batangas.
Totoo.
I don't think you guys knew that it was going to rain that bad when you guys signed up for it.
Thanks, Usman.
Yeah.
Yeah, we blame the typhoon. So we ended 2018 on a holiday break, which means that we had to push back our year-end awards to this episode. But before we get to our year-end awards, we have to talk about two big things that happened over the holidays. It was a bit of a heavy holiday season for the wrestling community.
The past 2 days have been heavy.
Yeah.
So let's start off with the heavier bits, and that is the passing of Mean Gene Okerlund, who is an icon to generations and generations of wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people will remember him as the backstage interviewer for the likes of Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage. He went from WWF to WCW, back to WWE. Even this generation of fans, kahit na hindi mo naabutan yung Attitude Era, even if you just grew up on the Ruthless Aggression Era, you would know Mean Gene because he would make those sporadic appearances.
Oh, and he would also be, especially for those who grew up watching Jack TV or Solar, he would be helming on the recap show, WWE Confidential, which is the precursor to a lot of different...
Afterburn.
I don't know if he did Afterburn, but I always knew him for doing Confidential.
And then he also did all of those legend...
The legend stuff. That was him. Whenever there's a gathering of old people backstage in a possible WrestleMania segment, he was there. He was a guy who would sound at home on the radio, but does well on TV. He would be the straight man, if you will, to everyone else's comic foil.
Do you have a favorite Mean Gene moment?
I do not.
Ric Flair interview.
I think mine is the Daniel Bryan interview after WrestleMania in 2016. Bryan won the Intercontinental Championship.
Tapos siya yung ano.
Siya yung backstage interviewer. Yeah, so that was golden. Mean Gene, one of the...
Man, it sucks.
one of the luckier ones in the industry, having lived past 70.
It actually hurts more because apparently, going by everyone who knew him, he was healthy.
Yep.
So nobody knew. It was really sudden that he would pass away.
So to all of from all of us here in the wrestling community in the Philippines, all of us grew up watching Mean Gene in some way, fashion, or form. Rest in power, Mean Gene.
Rest in power.
Now, let's talk about something else that happened over the holidays, and this one is more on the dark side.
It's despicable. All
right, and let's talk about Tony and the leaked nudes. So, we're going to start with December 30, because this was when the original article came out. I believe it was on Celeb Jihad.
Okay.
They were the ones who posted the shots of Toni Storm, and a woman allegedly being Toni Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pictures and the videos circle around, one, they're nudes. The second one is of a woman masturbating.
Oh, okay.
And yung identifier na ginamit ng Celeb Jihad is the hand tattoo of Toni Storm. There's a left hand tattoo that she has.
Yep.
It was the left hand that was used in the image. So the nudes were leaked. People have been waiting for the video to go on circulation. It hasn't come out yet, but the pictures have come out. And in the days since, people on Twitter have been tagging Toni Storm relentlessly.
Jesus Christ, why would you do that?
She killed off all of her accounts today.
I don't know. That sentence ended much better than I was expecting.
Yeah. So she's no longer on social media as of recording, and it's probably going to be a while until she even returns, if she plans to return.
People are shitty.
Yeah.
Just for doing that.
So
like the leak is one thing, but doing this.
Let's unpack it one by one.
Okay.
Let's start with the nudes, because I know that there are people who believe that taking nudes in itself is bad. To which I say that whatever you want to do in your spare time and your privacy is up to you. If you want to take nudes, if that gets you off, go right ahead. If you want to record a sex tape, go right ahead. Right?
Basta may consent.
Yeah, basta may consent. I think we all agree on
yeah,
that.
Basta may consent.
Now let's talk about the leaking of the nudes. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where it starts being morally problematic.
Oh, yeah. It's private property.
Yeah. Mm. Especially if, let's say, you gain access to the hard drive, for example, of Toni Storm, the human being, right? You go through her files, you find her nudes, you leak it. That's wrong.
That is a cyber crime,
Yeah, that's cyber crime in the UK, US, wherever it happens.
Is that punishable here?
Yes, it is. Yes. It's private property. It is confidential. A security breach. Yes, thank you.
So there's that. So dun palang, if you are complicit in the leaking, there is clearly something wrong and you are complicit in it.
Yep.
So the third is the tagging, the relentless tagging.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Why would you...
That's just foul.
I don't know. I don't even understand. Any end game by tagging the person in the pictures?
Obviously,
or allegedly in the pictures.
Emotional distress.
Why?
Slut shaming. People getting on their soapbox.
Because people are terrible.
Yeah. Jesus, I don't understand this. I just don't get why it gets people off.
It's one thing to talk about it openly on social media and say, hey, check it out, there are Toni Storm leaked nudes. It's a whole nother thing to go ahead and tag @ToniStorm_ to make sure she knows you're talking about it.
I don't know what the real end game is there. I don't know what the net positive of that is. I don't even understand. Yeah, I know. I guess the net positive for them is that she pays attention and then she somehow gets distressed. But I don't get it. I just don't. Even if I were to put myself in those shoes of the people who tag her, I don't understand what kind of feeling or high it would get me just to do that.
And consider the timing of it all. It's the fucking holidays.
Oh,
man. Nagbagong taon si Toni Storm and she had the avalanche of tags.
Yeah.
Of horn dogs, basically.
Yeah.
So, and consider that she's a young woman. She's 23.
Oh.
So, remember when this happened to Paige. She was also very young. Paige is what, 25, 26?
Now.
At the time, she was 24. Mm-hmm. So, right around the same age. So, I'm not saying that when you're younger, you're less equipped to handle these things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're younger, you're also...
More vulnerable.
Thank you, Kamos. That's the thing. Right? You're more vulnerable to all of this emotional abuse from people.
Yeah.
So it's very insensitive for all of these people to do that. If you want to go out and look for the leaked nudes yourself, and if that gets you off, whatever. I don't care. Like, that's on you, right? But to go ahead and to cause this much distress towards a person who willingly puts herself in the public eye for your entertainment is really problematic.
Yeah.
So there. Any other thoughts on?
No, you hit it right on the head. Right on the head.
The outpouring of support that's coming from her fellow wrestlers that she's worked with is something positive. That's about it.
Yeah, so there's a hashtag going around. It's hashtag We Support Tony. Yeah, it's going around.
And we support Tony.
Will Ospreay tweeted out. I've seen WWE superstars tweet it out. So
Jimmy Havoc tweeted out, and I don't know if they had a thing, but...
What?
No, because it was very nice. You know how fucked up Jimmy Havoc is.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's nice to see that, you know,
okay,
she had some positive impact on his life.
So we're going to throw our voices into the ether once again, and we're going to add to the hashtag We Support Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that out of the way, let's get to our year-end awards. Okay? Year-end awards this year, they're going to be much shorter.
Not Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, fine. So, yeah, let's preview Wrestle Kingdom then.
At the start, said it's just year-end. Yeah.
Sure, sure, sure.
All right. So, Wrestle Kingdom 13 happens tomorrow.
Yes.
And there's
tomorrow as of recording time, yes.
Yep. So, by the time you're listening to this, it's either a few hours away or it's
minutes.
Probably happening.
Right? Or after it's already happened. Mm-hmm. And you might be even there.
Yeah, with us. So, in case you're listening...
In which case, why are you listening to this podcast while Wrestle Kingdom is going on?
You sick freaks.
So, in case you're listening to this na hindi pa nangyayari yung Wrestle Kingdom, you might as well let you know that we are doing a Smart Henry viewing party at Skinny Mike Sports Bar, which is going to start around 3 or 4 p.m. We're going to be there that early, and we're going to be there until the night ends, basically. Tickets are going to be at 150 pesos, and that includes one free drink. So go ahead, bring all of your friends. Mm-hmm. If you have friends who are trying to get into New Japan, this is a great entry point. It's very... I would say it's casual friendly in the sense that there are some recognizable names.
It's WrestleMania for...
It's WrestleMania, it's for, WrestleMania Japan, for Puro fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. It's as simple as that. If you want to get into it, this is the good time.
And, you know, year after year, year on year, it might slowly be becoming WrestleMania for everyone as well. Like,
you know,
the second WrestleMania.
You know how in the local community, Maritime WrestleMania pilgrimage for the last 3 years?
Sure. Mm.
Wrestle Kingdom kind of has that na rin. So you had Kamus, who did that in 2017.
the thing still happening.
Yeah, I know.
No, you
started it in 2017. We have Antonio Chacoso, who wrote an entry for us on Smart Candy, in 2018. And then this year, Hub Pacheco, PWR photographer, our social media guy, Brian Lumanog.
His brother, Heathen Lumanog.
Yeah.
Who is also one of our social media guys.
Another friend of the podcast, Gabe Roaro. They're actually all there.
Gabe is back.
Yes.
Jesus.
For the second time in 3 years. So there's a bunch of them representing the Philippines in the Tokyo Dome tomorrow. So
I'm actually thinking of doing a parang players only Wrestle Kingdom Tokyo Dome only episode.
Okay, fine.
Just because we talked about it.
It is nice content. Yes.
And you can compare notes.
Yeah.
So there. So we'll probably shelve that for a future episode.
Or, you know, when they get back.
Okay, so let's preview Wrestle Kingdom 13, and we have to start with the main event, which is the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match between Kenny Omega and Hiroshi Tanahashi, who won the G1 Climax.
Mm-hmm. Ang daming nangyayari pa for this match. Like, during the press conferences today, like, Kenny came out with his cleaner hair.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny came out with his cleaner hair, the black and gray. He's obviously the heel now in all of this.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's getting really weird, but at the same time, there's also the looming. Oh God, I realized we didn't talk about All Elite Wrestling.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Fuck.
There is that looming over this match.
Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, the Elite has basically announced that they are pushing forward with their plans to create their own
Fed
wrestling promotion.
They have their own Fed that's backed by Tony Khan of
the Jacksonville Jaguars
and Fulham FC, actually, which is making more money than the Jaguars.
So dami nilang pera, and they have the trust, I guess, to go with that money. And amazing, it's stupid money to the point that this might be the legitimate number two wrestling promotion in North America that TNA was supposed to be.
So you've got the wrestlers who are both running it and are appearing in it. Like, for starters, Cody Rhodes is EVP and a talent.
And as alongside the Young Bucks, both of whom are talent, Mrs. Matt is signed.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Matt is signed to produce this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous because it's such a big endeavor, and it flew under the radar for so long, and then boom.
I wouldn't say it flew under the radar because there have been rumors.
Yeah, there have been rumors of it happening.
But like, we didn't think it would be, they would be holding positions.
That's, I think, I thought it was part of the territory, deal. Yeah. That, you know.
Cody is head booker.
Oh, is he really?
Pretty much. Okay. I think so.
Because I always figured that if the rumors say Young Bucks are the Elite are making a new promotion, I'm pretty sure they're the ones running that promotion.
Yeah, of course, if you have the Elite there, you have to have everyone involved. So the likes of Hangman Page, Marty Scurll, Kenny Omega, they have to be part of that somehow.
I just hope that, of course, at this age of wrestling, you would expect them to know better. But I just hope that they don't run it like WCW then.
I don't know.
It would be just one big boys club, and then whoever they like gets some big spots, and whoever they don't like doesn't get.
But that was All In. Just better. Just run.
Yeah,
properly.
I know. All In was one show. We're talking about an actual promotion here.
And by the time we get the next week, we'll have had the official PressCon and Wrestle Kingdom results. So yeah. It will be much clearer next week.
Yeah.
So back to Kenny and Tana.
All right. So how does AEW affect Kenny and Tana?
Because Kenny is the one guy who's been the most silent throughout all of this.
We don't exactly know if he's going to be part of that.
He'll participate, but we don't know if he's
full time.
He's core talent. That's what we don't
that's
know.
That's true. And as long as he is the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, you can't expect him to say much, because you know you can't go
you can't
and say
jump
that.
Ship. Yeah, you can't go jump and say ship that, when you're the biggest. Well, I would say
he's probably not going to get the chance to be Medusa here.
Yeah, yan yung mahirap dito. But at the end of the day, Tanahashi winning
is not
out of the realm of possibility, because he's pushing retirement age.
Mm.
That's the thing. And there were rumors going around that this would be the swan song.
Okay.
Where it is now, it's like, I'm not sure. I don't know if he can take it, if he can take the belt off of Kenny. We know he can go.
Mm, of course.
But we don't know to what effect, you know, another Tanahashi championship reign at this juncture in his career can do for New Japan or for Tana himself.
All right. Now let's get to the next big match. It's the no DQ match for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship between the reigning champion Chris Jericho and Tetsuya Naito.
Yes.
I think this is obviously where... again, I'm going to say obviously, but then you know how New Japan always throws wrenches into plans because they have their own plan. But obviously, it might be the point where Jericho loses the championship back to Naito.
Yeah, tapos yung Brock Lesnar run niya.
Yeah.
I think it should end.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was very well drawn out throughout the year.
Yeah.
It was done better than Brock's year. Like, Jericho's New Japan run was better than Brock's year.
I mean, Jericho still wrestled way more than Brock did.
It's also not just that. It's also because, even when Jericho is part-timing, you can still see that NJPW treats the part-timing gig with much more respect than Brock Lesnar treats his own part-timing gig for WWE.
Okay, so Naito tayo dito, no?
Yep.
For the main event, are we Omega or Tanahashi?
Oh, it's split down the middle.
I'm
calling Omega.
I would like to call Omega, but
I'm
conflicted. It's the same way that NJPW is madly in love with Okada, and you know they will always be madly in love with Tanahashi.
Yep.
So it's so hard to firmly call one or the other.
But it's gonna be 5-star
minute. Obviously,
yeah.
It's not obvious, man.
Tanahashi
is not 5-star automatic.
Why?
Even
I would say Okada is not 5-star automatic.
But we're not talking about Okada.
Yeah, I know.
We can talk about Okada now because Okada's match with Jay White is another highlight of the show.
Chaos Blood Feud.
This is Okada's first time in Wrestle Kingdom na hindi siya main eventer, I think, in a few years.
First in a while.
You know, long while.
Yeah, I think when I started watching Wrestle Kingdom, it's been Okada in the main event and hasn't changed.
Because it was that
this year.
It was that massive run and then, you know, that quick split with Naito and then in middle of the year, and then he was champion again. So for the better part of 4 years.
Yeah.
It has been Okada's show. This is the first time he's out of main event, co-main event.
Mm.
It's like he's third from the top.
Yep,
I think, and so. Yeah, that's it.
And yes, he is. He's the one guy that's in a blood feud at this moment, and it's gonna be fun to watch.
So, do you think Okada's winning this, or is
Jay
White?
No, I think Jay
White, because Jay White's year.
It's for the story.
Yeah,
we didn't think Jay White was gonna lose last year, and he lost to Tanahashi.
Well, yeah, that was last year. That was the return.
That was a moment where, parang he is just reintroduced again as a Switchblade. Now he is really on the way up.
See, I will be the contrarian and call Okada on this one. You want to go through the other matches, or you want to go straight to Ibushi Osprey?
Just Ibushi Osprey. Jesus Christ! Right, did they pull this? How did they fucking pull this in the last, what, month?
Junior Heavyweight Championship between Kota Ibushi and Will Ospreay.
For those who have not seen the tag match that was made free on Christmas,
the road to
Wrestle Kingdom.
You saw the GIF, maybe.
You might have seen the GIF, yes. That GIF is what a small taste of what you can expect from these two.
This is probably gonna be better than Osprey Ricochet.
I was gonna ask. How will it match up?
Just because, okay, it's already been announced that these guys are gonna open the show, and it's already been announced that, you know, Ibushi has a death wish.
Oh yeah, we all know that. That doesn't mean an announcement.
In the press cons.
Okay.
He has a death wish, and he's just, I want this so bad, just to be, okay, Will Ospreay has low-key been best junior for New Japan for the past 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
That much is there. But
I can pull for that, yes.
For him to start graduating towards the heavyweight side of championships scares me, because it's gonna get so good.
Yeah, he's gonna make heavyweight.
And never open weight is the way to go. Ibushi always has a storyline for as long as Kenny Omega is there, and it's just gonna be fun.
Is this gonna be Ospreay's first non-junior title?
It is a highly likely, yes.
Progress?
No, I mean in NJPW.
In NJPW, yeah.
He's exclusive, likely, yes. Not to New Japan.
Never?
It is. Never is exclusive.
No, I meant Ospreay.
Oh.
Ospreay is...
Well, no one is ever really exclusive.
I think Tana is exclusive.
Yeah, you know. But... Tana, Okada, like, okay, those guys, Tana, Okada will take, like, the occasional booking outside. Yeah. Ishii is, like, he's Rev Pro champion.
Yeah.
There's that, which is being defended.
Against ZSJ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that's gonna be fun, too. But, that's why, this card got stacked too fast.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a fun card. Like, I'm more excited for this card than last year's card, so.
Oh, I'm more excited for this card than I was for the past 2 years. So there's that. Just because there's everything top to bottom is going to be beautiful.
All right. So Wrestle Kingdom 13.
It's happening tomorrow.
Yeah. If you're going to be in the BGC area, come swing by Skinny Mike's.
If you are listening to this before the show.
Yeah, at least. So January 4, 3 p.m. onwards, 150 pesos.
Lang.
Mas mura kaysa sa Rumble at WrestleMania.
Oh,
which,
yeah, that's true.
The Rumble, by the way, will have another viewing party always.
Absolutely.
We might as well announce it now.
You can expect that, because we know how much you guys love counting down. How much you guys love the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And the spectacle that it is. So on January 28th.
Yeah. Last Monday of the month, right after PWR Live New Year's Resolution. Tuhog tayo, putangina.
Okay lang.
Yeah, so... for the fourth straight year, we're going to have the Royal Rumble viewing party at Skinny Mike Sports Bar. Now that we have those out of the way, let's talk about our year-end awards. So let's run through our awards really quickly before we go through them one by one. You've got your Rookie of the Year, which we are giving out to the one who the best superstar or wrestler who debuted either in a bigger promotion or who got called up to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Most Improved Wrestler, we'll get to that in a bit. The Struggle... you wrestler with the most potential but really sputtered out of the gate ever since. Moment of the Year, which is a new award we're introducing in lieu of Match of the Year. Because
explain why.
There's been so much that's gone on that we can't just specify one match. It has to be a moment or something part of a larger arc.
Basically, this is our way of saying that wrestling in the past couple of years has been really good. So watch as much as you can, because there is not one thing that stands out. Or, you know... There's just so many things, so many great things happening.
Yeah. There's Wrestler to Watch Out For. I think that one is self-explanatory. You have Team of the Year, Male of the Year, and Female of the Year.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Do you want to add Show of the Year?
No.
I would. No weekly or no pay per view of the year?
No. No.
Fine.
But the answer is all in.
No. I guess for show of
year. I would not say all in.
De.
I would not say all in. All in had an okay mid card.
Yeah, I would say it was the Royal Rumble from earlier this year.
Okay.
Or earlier last year.
Okay. Anyway,
let's get to Rookie of the Year. The nominees are Toni Storm, who made her debut on regular WWE programming this year.
Basically, officially NXT and officially NXT UK.
Yep. You've got Jeff Cobb, who started appearing for New Japan.
New Japan, and then midway through the year for ROH, winning their television championship and defending it quite well since Punishment Martinez's departure from ROH.
Since Punish went to NXT.
Yeah.
And you have Ricochet, who debuted at WrestleMania weekend to NXT after having a long run on Lucha Underground, New Japan, and many other indie promotions.
Yep.
And the winner is... Well, we have to give it to Ricochet.
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ, guys, did you watch his body?
Has not lost a step.
Yep.
You would expect a lot of guys, especially from when they're big in the indies, to have... when they get to NXT,
it's toned down.
They tone down a little bit, and then maybe they don't get the same kind of push they get when they arrive. So when you see Ricochet and when you see that he has been hot straight out the gate before he even wrestled, right?
Yeah.
Before he even officially wrestled on NXT, he was already extreme, and you saw that none of his work was changed.
No compromise whatsoever.
No compromise on Ricochet.
All the flippy shit.
One and only.
Yeah.
So he's been in hot feud after feud after feud for the North American Championship. He had Velveteen Dream.
Oh, that was so good.
Right?
That was
so good. I think... The six-man thing.
EC3 was part of the six-man thing.
Yeah.
And then part of the blow-off.
He's going to have Johnny Gargano in the new year.
Oh, yay. Baby.
So it's going to be a...
Also had Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze.
A great match.
Tyler Breeze in a surprise title match. So Ricochet definitely deserves this. Rookie of the Year. Well-deserved run so far on NXT.
Yep.
Okay, most improved of the year. How do we contextualize this role?
We will take this wrestler's previous year, which is to say 2017
to 2020,
and then we will take a look at how much better he is now, or he or she is now at during 2018. That's right. Basically the improvement we are looking at.
The improvement period.
Yes.
I'm surprised, by the way, that we, just to go back to Rookie of the Year, we didn't consider Ronda Rousey at all.
Nope! Nope!
No. Wait. Ano mas malaki ba? UFC or WWE? For one.
Right now? WWE.
Yeah, I know.
Because in previous years, we've always considered you for a Rookie of the Year spot if you went from one promotion to a bigger promotion.
Yeah,
right?
But
this is a literal debut. I mean, yeah, sure.
Ronda's, she's a literal rookie.
Yeah, she is a literal rookie.
She's a literal rookie, but what?
Oh, I'll briefly consider her because...
She gets posthumous nomination.
No, you know what?
We will give the award.
I will give Ricochet 1A and then Ronda 1B.
Why they?
And that's not because she's a woman. It's just because Ricochet's body of work was way, way better.
As a pro wrestler,
As a pro wrestler. This is our award show.
Of course,
show.
Ricochet is better.
Yes.
This is our award show. Ronda's great. Yeah, sure. She's somewhere in the conversation. But those three had fucking... insane
had paid
years.
Their dues, but I guess Stan has a point in saying that if we're really looking at how someone quickly took to pro wrestling, especially with when you're not from originally pro wrestling, right?
Yeah,
Ronda does deserve to be in the conversation.
Okay, let's give her an honorable mention.
Okay, honorable mention.
All right, now let's go back to most improved.
She's gonna have some most improved next year.
I hope so. I'd like that.
Yeah,
most improved wrestler of the year, and the nominees are Hangman Page, Marty Scurll, and Mustafa Ali.
I would, you know, it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy here. But Mustafa Ali gets the nod from me because of how fucked up inexplicable the WWE system is when it comes to cruiserweights.
I will also have to give the award to Mustafa Ali just because being a cruiserweight also meant low-key na merong glass ceiling.
Yes. Yeah, and nobody knew that was possible.
Yes.
We always saw the heavyweights move down. Whenever they, you know,
whenever
we saw guys
they wanted
like
to.
Buddy Murphy or Mike Kanellis.
Fabian Aichner?
No, Fabian Aichner is firmly a heavyweight in NXT UK.
NXT now. But he moved up, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
He moved up. For Mustafa Ali to come in first as an alternate in the Cruiserweight Classic and then be in the mid card for 205 Live, and then move up and graduate to SmackDown in a point where nobody actually knew you could graduate.
We didn't even mention the fact that Mustafa Ali is one of two cruiserweights who appeared at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he does win it.
Yeah.
I mean, just make the
case. That is the biggest glow up, I'd
say.
That
is the biggest glow up. And I am not disagreeing in any way.
No.
I just have to say, the other two nominees have put in so much work on an independent level that it is... it's almost gratuitous to even just call them most improved because... Grabe lang yung body of work nila this year alone. Like, Marty Scurll has... Marty Scurll actually has the most selling merch on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's
another indicator of just how much his glow up has happened. But Mustafa Ali, as a wrestler...
Oh, Marty Scurll also has his own faction.
His own faction now. Villain Enterprises.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see a Mustafa Ali shirt. I think that's the next step.
I think it's a Mustafa Ali shirt.
It's probably going to be heart-centric.
We wanted the Jinder Mahal shirt. We got the Jinder Mahal shirt. We're going to get the Mustafa Ali shirt.
I hope it's not crappy.
I doubt it. No, because the thing is, there's the amount of fire that is behind him ever since, mid-December?
Yeah. I wonder if Vince
is aware. He's the best part of December.
I wonder if Vince is aware he's alive.
Vince watches SmackDown.
Or Mustafa Ali's a thing. Just kidding. First, Vince watches SmackDown. He oversees it.
He appeared on SmackDown.
Yeah. He gets punched out on SmackDown.
Uh-huh. And he likes it. Right, next. Let's talk about the struggle. What is the struggle?
All right, the struggle is the opposite of most improved, basically. So you come from a highly touted or, high expectations from the year before. And then when this year or when the past year rolled around, you have... Gone down the status quo.
And the nominees are Zack Ryder, the almighty Bobby Lashley, and Nia Jax.
I don't even know why Nia Jax is in this conversation. Wait, was there a fourth one?
No, hila. Those are the three.
Because Nia's second half of the year was...
Yeah, pero she...
She got injured for one.
That's where it started. And then it just...
I don't think that's her fault, though.
She was sole survivor, though, of the Survivor Series match.
Oh, nga. And she got a push as the face breaker.
Oh, nga. I think that is something not... I don't know why
it's not she's struggling.
Not struggling enough. But the thing is, the clear guy here is... Bobby Lashley.
Oh, yeah.
I think
Bobby Lashley for sure.
I mean, Zack Ryder was depressing this year, but he's been sad for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Zack Ryder had something moving to Raw,
but
they didn't capitalize on it. But then again, it's par for the course for Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley, though, one of the biggest signings they've got in 2018.
Supposedly.
Supposedly, and then is in a middling feud with no one in particular.
I was about to argue now you could actually put Samoa Joe in this conversation, except that Samoa Joe has been hovering around the championship.
Samoa Joe is in an okay place.
Yeah.
It's not struggly enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on to the wrestler to watch out for. So this is a wrestler that is very promising and looks to have a very bright 2019 ahead of them.
Oof.
And the nominees are Mustafa Ali, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, and Nikki Cross.
On the main roster.
All of them. Yeah, with Nikki Cross. Wherever that is going to be.
Yes.
Yeah, wherever that's going to be.
Can we take a tangent right now and then ask you guys, how weird is it that they're actually actively promoting yung mga call-ups?
Okay, I think nah, there's a reason behind it, and that reason is that this is Triple H's way of convincing Vince that NXT is a product worth keeping, and that the NXT stars are worth getting behind.
Yeah, but why... Why is this a thing? Like, why are they doing the whole coming soon to WWE?
Because Lacey Evans is not on the same level as Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha.
True. So why are they? But
they're gonna hold up. They need pieces to move around.
Yeah, I know.
These are the pieces.
No, what Stan said was about Triple H needing these guys to be successful is the rumor. But if that were the case, then why exactly these guys? I mean, you can make a case for EC3. Nikki and EC3.
The others, not so much.
Yeah, right?
Heavy Machinery is like a bubble.
No. If I were them, I would be calling it what? The Undisputed Era.
Too soon, though,
with biggest names.
They have shit to do.
I know.
There.
I'm saying.
You know who would have been a better call up? The fucking Velveteen Dream.
Oh, no.
But Vince don't know the dream exists. Vince ain't called yet.
Vince!
Alam mo yun?
Call him.
Parang self-defeating to eh. Ng konti.
It's actually kind of sad. No?
Yeah. It's like, we need
three straight weeks of promoting these guys.
I believe in these guys because I believe in NXT, for sure. But if you're gonna...
I don't believe in Lacey Evans' iced tea, though.
Sure, sure.
Really?
No, the iced tea. Just the iced tea. Not in Lacey Evans herself.
But, okay. You know, if we're gonna convince the casual WWE fan that these are the must-watches from NXT, parang you can only...
Narcissus must-watch.
You can only argue for EC3 Nikki, for sure. It's weird. It's weird. I hope for Triple H's sake that, you know, his experiment goes successful. But
yeah. Same.
It's just weird now. This is the way they're introducing them today.
Maybe
not. You know, the surprise appearances and debuts.
Maybe with this, because it's their way of building stars. Now they're taking shots with guys that they aren't, you know, risking too much with.
No, you
these
know
are what.
See, that's it. Finish your point first.
The point. Most of those guys are the homegrown guys. Notice. Na parang outside of EC3 and Nikki, those guys are all NXT ground up guys.
My hypothesis in all of this is, you know how there are fans our age and older who say, now, you know what, I miss those vignettes of my debuting superstars. And this is WWE's way of saying, you want your vignettes? Here, saksak nyo sa baga nyo. 3 weeks of the same fucking vignettes.
Diba? No, ako naman, if they're gonna do this vignette approach, I would prefer that they go all in. And not the pay-per-view, pero more like treat it like a draft. Alam mo yun, treat it like some ESPN shit. You have Charlie, who's on ESPN. Have her interview these people who are going up to WWE main roster.
Or kahit man lang yung fake
get to know
agent
all
shit,
them.
Like
yeah,
what
MVP yes,
has when he debuted.
Exactly.
Remember that?
Well, we'll see.
Have let's an see. Interview.
Okay,
let's
get back
sorry,
to
sorry,
the wrestler
sorry,
to watch out for. Among these four, who do we give it to? Because my vote goes to... Nikki Cross.
I would have to give it to Mustafa Ali, but mostly because he's the one in the biggest position to succeed right now.
I'm still on the Keith Lee train, but Matt Riddle is mine. But if we had to give it to someone, Mustafa Ali is the one who has been given a ball. Everyone else on this list is we're basing off of potential.
No, but we're also basing Matt Riddle on the fact that he was also given a ball.
Yes, but not as, you know, an NXT ball on the mid card is not, hey, you just beat Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, but he has a, that is true, but he also has a Madison Square Garden ball.
Ooh, that is true.
Have you listened to Matt Riddle on ENC's podcast?
It's funny because he sounds stoned.
Yes, he sounds so stoned. Putang ina.
He sounds so
stoned. That's how he always talks, though.
But no, he sounds unbelievably
it's
high.
No. This is...
It's a different level.
It's a different... It's like, bro...
Talagang ginagago lang niya yung interview.
So... I have kids.
Yeah. That's exactly
that's how he sounds. Okay. It's hard.
It sounds like he was taken straight out of a Judd Apatow movie.
He's asking for a fine.
Like, God,
he wants to pay the tax.
He wants to pay the weed tax.
Yeah. Okay, next, let's...
But Mustafa Ali, watch out. All right. They can't... There is no conceivable way that they can fuck it up now.
Let's talk about the team of the year. And the team of the year, I think for this conversation, we can only really narrow it down to two nominees. And the nominees are the Young Bucks and the Undisputed Era. So the case for the Undisputed Era is there was a time in the year when all of them held something.
Oh, yes.
Whether it was when Bobby Fish's Dusty Tag Team Classic Award.
Uh-huh. Mini Cup.
Yeah, the Mini Cup. Adam Cole's North American title. And Roddy and KOR with the Tag Team Championships. The case for the Young Bucks, though, is that they've been IWGP Tag Team Champions. They've graduated to the heavyweights. They were part of All In. They worked towards starting their own promotion. Mm-hmm. Being the elite has been wildly successful, even more than it has been, and
they're
that
merch elite as well.
Yeah, and that they've raised their profile to the point that they got themselves and the rest of the Bullet Club guys on Hot Topic,
and they got their own, and now they have their own promotion, officially in the new year.
Right. So, with all of that being said, I think the Young Bucks have squashed the Undisputed Era here.
By far.
Oh, no,
by far. It was, like, for me, it was Young Bucks. Who else is in the conversation?
Yeah.
How can you have a conversation without talking about how I mean, what? 2 years ago, we were talking about how they were changing the business with their merch strategy. Now we're talking about how they're taking over the world.
The Young Bucks, by the way, are also the first wrestlers outside WWE to get their own Funko Pops.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, the Young Bucks really proved more than ever that you can make a lucrative career in the pro wrestling business outside WWE.
Mm.
And that says a lot, especially in the current landscape where WWE is still recognized as the biggest player of them all. Diba? Mm. All right, we're down to our last three awards. So let's get to the new one, the moment of the year.
Nominees are...
The nominees are All In, as in the show. You've got The Return of Daniel Bryan. The Rise of the Man, Becky Lynch. And Kenny Omega finally winning the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
All of which were, you know, tentpole moments.
Momentous moments.
I think that they all deserve to be broken down a little bit at least. So, All In. The gravity of All In. For starters, it was the biggest independently produced show.
And it led ever. To All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
It was the proof of concept that everyone needed. Yeah. That, you know, these guys can make it.
And there's a market for a third or another promotion.
And there is an opportunity for everyone involved just outside of WWE. You don't have to go to WWE anymore.
As long as you have billions of dollars, literal billions and billions in of funding. Dollars in funding from Tony Khan. Sorry, this guy, okay, Tony Khan, I hate his ass. I hate his ass because he's literally that rich guy who will throw money at any sports team.
Basta, my promise.
And the thing is, he's made both Fulham and the Jacksonville Jaguars very profitable teams, even though both are incredibly terrible.
Jaguars are not that terrible.
They're not that terrible.
Bortles!
I know that's a good place. But Blake Bortles is trash.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, though.
That's it.
Don't trash your defense.
But no, the defense is fine. Blake Bortles is shit.
I know Blake Bortles is shit. Anyway,
it's your Chicago Bears in the playoffs.
I know. And you're not. Anyway, it's a good because you don't have to go to WWE anymore. It's not the grill anymore. It doesn't. And when the WWE is not the holy grail anymore for both fans and performers, it will force them to get better, finally. And, you know, not.
Optimistically.
Optimistically, yes, fine. Optimistically, hopefully they get better.
Right. So you have All In. Let's unpack Kenny Omega winning the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. So we all thought this was going to happen at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Did not.
Did not happen. Nope. We thought it would happen at Dominion.
Did not.
Did not happen at Dominion.
Did not happen the next match also.
Yes. And we had to wait until the middle of the year. I don't even remember the name of the show anymore.
Dominion.
No, it was Dominion this year.
It was this year.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Sorry.
Because you're talking about the trilogy with Okada.
Yeah.
That, you know, by the time you hit that fourth match, you're just like, well, they're fucking with us at this point. Because we were, I'm trying to find the right word for it.
But like, you know, 2 out of 3 falls to really hit you over the head with it.
Yeah, because by the time they got to that storyline, Kenny was just like, you know, you're just thinking, okay, well, I'm just happy that Kenny still has a career. He's having fun. You don't think he can win anymore. And he does. And in the most dramatic fashion.
Yeah, sudden death, diba?
Sudden fucking death. With like, it was a great match. Not as great as the trilogy, but, you know, fucks with your head. And as longtime Kenny Omega supporter, I'm happy for him. The title run itself hasn't been the best thing in the world, but he's done good. Mm-hmm. He's done good. He deserved this maybe a little earlier, but when it happened, it happened. It's beautiful.
I would compare it to Daniel Bryan, actually. Because Daniel Bryan's championship runs have not been impressive at all.
But the moment itself is.
Yes. So when Kenny Omega won the big one, finally, it was kind of like Daniel Bryan overcoming everything at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
So it was that big of a deal.
Tears were shed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of Daniel Bryan, he's in moment of the year conversation for his whole return. He went from being general manager of SmackDown to unretiring to having turned heel and becoming WWE champion by the end of the year. What the fuck?
This was...
Who saw that coming, man?
This was not the plot twist we expected
but in it was.
September. September, diba?
When he turned heel?
Yeah. No, when he came back. September?
He came back in March.
March?
Yes.
Yeah, he came back in March.
Was that March?
He wrestled at Mania. Dude, what the fuck?
Where have you been?
See, this is...
Are you more stoned than Matt Riddle?
No, I'm not even stoned. I'm just kulong sa tulog.
Yeah, anyway, but if, okay, if he told anyone, if he told me that he would be champion by now, you know, by the end of the year.
The full clearance, the full everything.
I would ask you if you were stoned like Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing, you know... Umiyak tayo eh.
Oh yeah, the fight for your umiyak dreams tayo. And your dreams will fight for you is a line I've referenced over and over again on air.
It's just
and
it's speaking so
engagements.
Good.
It's very compelling and it's very relatable, very inspiring as well. And to see him spit on all of that and turn heel and become the new fun. Daniel Bryan, it's also really really fun.
And for him to do it against AJ Styles,
yes,
that's the thing.
We're getting AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan multiple times. Who'd have thought? Now, remember when Bryan retired, AJ had this dejected look on his face.
Well, Daniel Bryan is probably going to get the new AJ Styles as well.
The real AJ Styles.
The real AJ Styles.
Mm. So, all I want is eventually the return of the killer Nakamura.
That's
for this to happen. Mm-hmm. Because that's the dream match I want for next Mania.
Yeah, Bryan's on the right
or
brand.
Or SummerSlam.
With the right opponents.
With the right... people around him.
The Mysterios, Nakamuras, Joes, AJs of the world. Even Mustafa Ali. Cien
that
Almas.
Was so good though. Sorry, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you just have to say Mustafa versus Daniel Bryan mini feud.
Yep.
Over the past 2 weeks has been great. So, 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Yeah, the return of Daniel Bryan has been glorious. And let's end our nominees list with the rise of the man, Becky Lynch.
Ang ina kasi biggest storyline of the year, diba?
Yeah. Well, we didn't see it coming as well.
Yeah. Then I don't think Becky saw it coming either. The one thing I think that I don't like about this is how Becky refuses to kill kayfabe at all. When she's on podcasts. Where, mas relaxing environment, you're expected to drop it. She really just plays it up the whole time.
Especially on the ENC podcast, diba? Parang,
yeah.
Even with them, people she knows, people that, you know, she references as who helped her get through a lot.
Yep.
Diba? It's like,
even
it doesn't, there's nothing there that's like, I want to be a nice person. No, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, even on Lillian Garcia's podcast, Lillian being very unassuming.
Yes.
And Becky just goes full heel on her.
Yes. So
that's kind of awkward and uncomfortable to listen to. But other than that, Becky Lynch being the man, turning heel and then turning face again in such a short amount of time is proof once again when crowd support is there and is really so strong that you can't deny it, we can move mountains. Mm-hmm. Sort of.
We can move mountains.
We did with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it has to be 100% undeniable.
We did with Becky Lynch. So it has happened. It's a testament to the crowd support, to Becky Lynch herself and her talent level. So we have to really include Becky Lynch in this conversation.
Of course.
With all of that said, the winner is Daniel Bryan.
Because, really,
this is a miracle. There is nothing short of a miracle in what happened.
You know, man,
come on.
He was cleared. We thought it could have happened elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, fine, but...
That's the thing.
Maybe the miracle was that it happened in WWE.
Yes.
That Vince let it all happen.
Yeah, Vince gave
it
to the presser.
And they gave him the strap.
Yeah, that Bryan reportedly has creative control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. It's mm-hmm. so good. Just love
it's
it.
It's undeniable.
Love
it.
Yep. Sorry, Becky.
Thank you, Becky, but, you know, Daniel Bryan has a special place in our hearts, so sorry.
All right, now let's go to Female of the Year or Woman of the Year. And
Jesus
the
Christ, come on!
Can we
seriously
even, like after all
after
that,
that
I just said?
Yeah. Are we? Really
I think it's pretty obvious that our Woman of the Year is the man, Becky Lynch, and the Man of the Year is also Becky Lynch.
Yes,
but actually, it's Daniel Bryan.
Okay,
so Bryan and Becky Lynch are our top two wrestlers of the year. If you had to, you know, separate it by gender or by sex.
But if there were Superstar of the Year, it'd probably just be Becky Lynch.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. But the year that they had was just amazing.
Just so we can say that we're not shitting on your favorite wrestler, the other male nominees were AJ Styles and Kenny Omega.
Oh.
For Female of the Year, Toni Storm and Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yen lang yun.
There you have it. Those are our year-end awards. And those of you who are wondering why no local wrestlers or promotions were mentioned, it's because we abstained from talking about the local scene out of integrity and professionalism.
There. So that Camus can't give himself any awards.
Oh, well, yes.
And Stan can't give himself any awards either.
So those are the SGP Podcast Year-End Awards for 2018. This is the fifth time we've done this.
Uh-huh.
Been going at this since 2014, so fifth time na to. And if you have any contentions or any arguments you want to present forward, you can always hit us up. It's at the SGP Podcast, at Caveman Camus, at Roiswar, and at _ Stan C. Please, at us. We are ready.
Hey! And if anyone has anything to say about AJ Styles not being featured on this list, there are reasons. And you know who you are.
Cousin.
So, thank you very much for making it this far into the podcast. We're so excited to see you tomorrow at this time. We're ending the recording right before 5 p.m. So we hope to see you at Skinny Mike Sports Bar in BGC. Para sa mga nagtatanong, it's right beside MC Home Depot, SNR,
St. Luke. There's parking.
There's parking sa my Starbucks. There's also parking at MC Home Depot, at F1 Hotel across the street.
There's open parking all across. Kaso nga lang, kalaban mo na yung mga taong babalik sa opisina.
Yeah, but we don't know that. Maybe there are some people who haven't gone back to the office yet. Yeah.
Or if you want, you know, carpool. Carpool with your other fellow wrestling fans. It's a good excuse to get together on a Friday to watch wrestling. If anything else, tell your friends, uy, si Chris Jericho mag-wrestling sa Japan.
Oh, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, si Cody Rhodes nasa Japan. So, you know, that's as good enough as a reason, I believe.
Yeah.
For a casual, right? So bring them over. It's 150 pesos a ticket, and it comes with a free drink. And we're going to be there until 8:30 or 9 p.m.
Probably 9.
Depending on when the main event ends.
Knowing them,
it's never going to end.
Yeah. Especially if we're going to watch the post-match promo and all that.
Yeah, so bring your friends. It's about to be a lot of fun. Now, aside from that, you've got PWR Live New Year's Resolution. The poster dropped on New Year's Day, and it features all of the current reigning champions of PWR. That will be held the last Sunday of the month, January 27, at the Power Max Center Spotlight, 2 p.m. pa rin. Ticket prices are about to be announced in a few weeks, so watch out for that. And we don't really know any of the matches yet, so you'll have to stay tuned for that as well. Right after that, January 28th, you've got the Royal Rumble, and the viewing party will take place at Skinny Mike Sports Bar. 300 pesos a ticket pa rin, or, you know, we'll talk about it and we'll see how
we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We have to calculate for inflation.
Yes. Thanks, Train. So you have that. Now, if you want to support the podcast in any way, shape, or form, here are the ways to do that. You can always hit subscribe. You can leave a comment on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always tell your friends that you gave us a 5-star rating and that there's a podcast by Filipino wrestling fans for Filipino wrestling fans.
And you can throw money at us when you see us in public.
Oh, yeah. So we don't have to set up a Patreon account.
All right.
Fuck Patreon in 2019, we're gonna fucking do a Patreon. No, sorry.
I don't even know.
Those are the ways you can always help the podcast. So thank you very much for making it this far. On behalf of Romaran and Raf Camus, my name is Stan C, saying thank you very much for sticking with us this long, and Happy New Year.
Peace.
Hey, this is for all my kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, dripping, son of a guns. Woo!